Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. It is, indeed, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. The four-hour sports talk radio extravaganza begins right now.
You're not gonna make that a thing, are you?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I think I might. I thought it was pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie. I think I'm cool.
Those are the most normal glasses that you have.
They're yellow, dog.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Well, we'll see how that comes across on the stream.
Courtney called them my serial killer glasses.
Yeah, it just, I mean, you got some, I'm cooking something up in the kitchen kind of vibes. I'm sorry, cooking someone up in the kitchen kind of vibes.
I thought you were going to say like a Walter White Breaking Bad vibe. Nope, you and her both. No, Rob, you're fine. You just look like a murderer. Oh, well.
The shirt,
I look like
the shirt,
a cool murderer.
The shirt buttoned all the way up. That goes a long way,
right,
too. I'm just saying.
Here's my first world problem for the day. Because of the way that this shirt, which I very much love, by the way, this is today's Fun Friday shirt. The problem is the second button is so down, so I have two options, which is to show off my complete and total lack of chest hair by going a button down, or by looking like I'm ready to teach an AP history class. By going with the top button up, I can't tell you the unnecessary amount of time I spent struggling with that decision this morning. Do I go with the vibe of, man, I need like a big gold chain with a big gold cross on it, right? That I don't own, or do I go with the vibe that it's 7:02, I'm going to be yelling at a kid that they came in late after the bell has rung to start first period, and there's no in-between? None.
Well, without the glasses, you're giving off big Kirk Cousin vibes. But, you know, with the glasses, Dahmer all the way.
I know you don't mean that to be an insult, which is good because I wouldn't take it that way. All right? If I am half the G that Kirko swag is over in ATL, I'm doing all right, man. Me and Kirk Cousins, cost bros. It works just fine for me. All right, what a show we got lined up today. What a million things to get into. And for the second day in a row, great one. For the second day in a row, I am going to start the show off with a sound bite. Now, for those of you that have followed the show for some time, you know we don't do that. Ordinarily, the first segment of the show is utilized to welcome all of you lovely people in with us.
The ugly people, too.
And you ugly people, we welcome you, too. You're safe here, okay? We welcome all of you in. We set up for the show. We tell you about the litany of topics that we're going to get to. We tell you we're going to talk about last night's Thursday night football game. The Eagles now with a one game lead over the Washington Commanders. Bum, 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 bums. In the NFC East, we're going to get to that in just a little bit, including the absolute hilarity of the post game when the Eagles fans were chanting, "Thank you, Giants." so loud it came over the TV broadcast. And I just have to know. In fact, I can tell you for a fact, I know that the Giants front office staff lost sleep over it last night. And I'll tell you how I know that coming up later in the show. We'll talk about that. We are going to get into one of the funniest radio caller phone calls that I've heard in a very long time coming up later in the show. We got to break down the entire college and NFL football schedule for the weekend. We got that coming up. That's normally what we do in the first segment. We normally don't jump into sound, but I'm going to. And here's why. Because while I am going to continue to tell you, do not watch this Tyson Paul fight tomorrow. Okay, do something better with your time.
It's tonight. I mean, I guess if...
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Don't watch it tonight. Don't rewatch it tomorrow.
All right, you're the only person I know who's not watching.
I don't care. I am going to continue.
It's a lonely island. I hope you brought snacks.
But an island I will defend with my life. Do not watch this fight. You are doing a disservice to genuine sport if you watch this fight. That's how strongly I feel about it. However... Mike Tyson having a microphone is never going to hurt my feelings. Okay? Mike having a mic is never going to hurt my feelings. We need more Mike moments.
And you definitely don't want to step on his toes.
You definitely don't want to step on his toes. So yesterday was the final weigh-in / press conference before the fight between these two guys.
All right, every time you do that, it's a great disservice to all those people fighting for belts on that card. Great boxers all, and I don't know why you
absolutely
hate them.
And they deserve better.
You absolutely hate
them. And they deserve better
because you're telling people not to watch this.
No, you don't want them to see them. Did I say don't watch the card, or did I say don't watch the fight?
And usually,
I said don't watch the fight.
Usually, when you say a fight, it means the card.
Yeah, maybe for you. When I say fight, I mean that fight.
Okay, well,
When I say the fight tomorrow night, I'm talking Jones Miocic. I'm not talking about the rest of the card. If I want to say don't watch the card, I'll say don't watch the card.
Why don't you specifically call out the fight and not, you know?
I did. I said don't watch this fight. Don't watch this fight. If you took that to mean don't watch this card, then I don't know what to tell you.
And if you're one of those listeners that go, thank you, Rob, I listened to you and I didn't watch because you told me to. Sheep, quit being a sheep. Do your thing.
No.
Don't let Rob tell you what to do.
Listen to people who have your best interests at heart. And that's me, okay? Always. Now, here's the reason I bring this up.
Does your dog listen to you when you tell your dog?
Rarely.
Okay, I'm just curious.
She belongs to the wife, not me. So, if there's anything about this fight, that's good, it's Mike Tyson having a microphone. Now, Mike Tyson, yesterday evening, was doing his media rounds. They did the press conference, and then they, both of the fighters, of which there is one, both of these fighters did some individual one-on-one breakout interviews. And Mike Tyson was asked a question about the legacy of this fight. What is the legacy on the line for Mike Tyson in this fight? Now, I want you to listen to the answer. And there's a reason that I want you to pay attention.
I don't like your tone. So this is, of course, going to serve right into what you're saying.
No, it's actually not. I'm going somewhere you don't think I'm going. Okay? This is not me complaining about the fight. Okay? This is actually, I found this genuinely hilarious. All right? So Mike was asked a question about legacy. What is the legacy you want to leave, and how does this fight play into that? And Mike said this. All right. That's a pretty deep answer for Mike, right?
Yeah, especially since he's went through some different things.
Pretty deep answer for Mike. He's like, legacy is a...
So he's
is
no
a,
longer praising Allah?
Legacy is another word that means ego. Legacy is another word that's, you know, you trying to make yourself more important than you are. He said, when you're dead, you're dust, you're gone. You won't care anymore. So who cares? Do you think that anyone wants to talk about you? They don't give a... Which is a deep answer. Here's the question that he was asked, and listen to the reporter who asked it of him. Mike dumped that answer, including a, I'm going to die and be dust, who the cares, on like a 14-year-old girl who was just trying to have.
She looks younger than that. She looks like she's 12.
However old, definitely a very early teenage girl who was like, hey, Mike, kids like me who weren't alive when you were Iron Mike, kids like me who have never gotten a chance to see you, you are going to give them a chance to see you and expand your legacy. How do you feel about leaving a legacy to kids like me?
She's 14, by the way. So 14, she can handle that. 12, that's totally different.
A child reporter says, how do you feel about your legacy? And Mike gives the most serious, gruff, angry boxing answer ever. That's the most ridiculous Mike Tyson thing on a long, long, long list of ridiculous Mike Tyson things. That's fantastic. He looked this 14-year-old girl who was very clearly like, this is a moment for her. This is probably a young lady who's got aspirations of becoming a journalist, maybe in the sports game. Maybe she definitely never got to see Mike Tyson in the prime. She never got to see Iron Mike Tyson. She never got to see that guy. And it's whoever she's doing it for. Somebody said, hey, young lady, with dreams and hopes and aspirations of getting into the game and being a sports journalist, we are going to send you to go interview one of the greatest heavyweight boxers of all time. I want you to know, young lady, that there are full grown-ass men in this world who would fight other full grown-ass men in this world for the opportunity to do this, for the opportunity to talk to this guy, for the opportunity to ask a question and give an answer that they'll be able to put into their portfolio forever and go, I interviewed Iron Mike Tyson, and he said, and carry that with them forever. But we want to send you. We want to send you. You 14-year-old girl who has shown us promise and ambition and drive and desire, we want to send you to this press conference. We want to give you the camera and the microphone. We want to give you the opportunity to go one-on-one with the great one and have that conversation. And Mike Tyson looked at this young lady, 14 years old, and said, legacy is nothing. Who the bleep cares? Can you imagine? Just look at her dead in the face. Never, nothing. Which, I mean, I guess if nothing else, I guess if there is one thing to admire about Iron Mike Tyson, with all of the baggage and all of the history and all of the drama and all of the bad decisions and all of the things that will mar the legacy of Iron Mike Tyson away from the boxing ring, a legacy that he doesn't care about. I guess the one thing we can say is there ain't no off switch on Mike being Mike, is there?
Yeah, I think we already knew that. You know, your crusade against this fight's not going to work. I predict Netflix breaks tonight.
I have no doubt, Lonzo, but sometimes you stand like Captain America and you tighten the shield and you stare Thanos and his army in the face, knowing that you are outmanned, outgunned, outnumbered, and you fight the good fight. I am standing for the legacy of a sport that has been celebrated in this country since the country's beginnings. I am defending a sport that is beauty and art and science and competition from a horde of grifters and ne'er-do-wells who have co-opted it for their benefit, not the benefit of the sport, not the benefit of competition, not the benefit of the sweet science. No, no, they are doing it for YouTube clicks so that they can get more money. They don't give a damn about a sport that I love. They don't give a damn about a sport that men have gone in there since the 1500s and strapped it on and tried to become the world's greatest of all time. They don't care about any of that. Jake Paul says, how do I get more YouTube subscribers and take more money off of these clowns?
All I know is I think boxing existed way before the 1500s. I mean, and the other thing is turn your phone off, because if Tyson wins tonight, I've never sent 100 texts in a row before, but I can do it. I've come pretty close to you. I mean, sent like 30 maybe in a row, but 100's happening for sure. And I implore anyone who has Rob's phone number while you're watching this fight, because everyone he knows is going to be watching this fight. If Tyson were to win, let's just blow up his phone. His brand new phone that he's so happy about. Let's make that thing catch on fire.
You know, I sit here.
I hope your mom's listening. I hope she watches and she texts you or calls you, because you'll answer the phone when she calls.
I sit here, and as an army of one.
Right, because we have predictions on stream already, because obviously people are going to be watching this fight.
I don't care about your predictions. I don't care about your or anybody else's thoughts on this fight.
I do.
I don't.
Everyone going Tyson so
far. And you have, by the way, prediction in the chat. There's one.
There's two. There's two.
Oh, there is two. Damn it. There's two. All right.
You can't see through the yellow?
I sit here as an army of one, and all I know is this. You guys are excited to watch a 58-year-old grandfather throw hands against a YouTuber.
Did you see him with the clothes off at the weigh-in? Dude, I mean, come on.
He might be the most in-shape 58-year-old of all time. You are excited in a sport that has Furies and Usyks and Alvarezes fighting around the world, representing the global population and the countries they represent, and you're excited about a 58-year-old man and a garbage human being of a YouTuber throwing hands. That's what's got you pumped.
Yeah, probably a lot of
people.
Be
better. People,
no.
Be better.
Stop telling people what to do.
I will not until people be better. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all done ruined my damn morning at 6:23 a.m.
Excuse me, but you're the one who brought it up.
I was having
an played audio.
Because I wanted to have the lulls about Mike Tyson being the most dramatic to a 14-year-old girl and going off on this hysterical response. And instead, I got people out here pretending like this is a real sporting event. It's beyond frustrating.
You can't be a wrestling fan and come at it from that angle. You can't do that.
Beyond frustrating. All right, we got a lot of stuff coming up over the course of the show this AM. We got Chris Miller, by the way, joining us at 8:30 to talk some South Carolina Gamecocks as they get set for Mizzou this weekend.
You think Chris Miller's watching the fight?
We'll ask, and I'll judge him too. All right? All of you.
He's probably on your side.
Zach, Joe, all of you. I love you guys. P1s, the Armada. I love the Armada. I love you guys. Thank you for being here every day. You have a bad take on this.
Your judgment is flawed. I don't accept your judgment.
You have spent...
On behalf of them.
I don't give a damn. I don't care. This is the most aggressive that I have been to the people and to Lonzo in the 5 years that I have been here.
I beg to differ. Your defense of Bryce Young is equally as aggressive.
And also looking better and better by the game. By the game.
Wow, they beat the Giants.
By
are they gonna
the
win?
Game.
Are they going to win their next game?
No, they're going to go. We're going to talk about that later on in the show for sure. Carolina, of course, has the bye week. And then the Chefs. Great googly moogly. By the way, the internet, social media is having a ball right now with the predictions that Bryce Young is the hero we've needed all along, that Bryce Young is the one that's going to put the one in 9-1, that of all that have stood and all that have fallen, it will be Bryce Young who reaches the mountaintop.
So let me understand this correctly. So you're saying that social media is not giving Buffalo a chance?
No, I'm saying Bryce Young's. They're saying Bryce Young's going to be the first. That's right. It's after the bye. You guys have Buffalo first.
Right. So that's what I heard.
Amari Cooper wants to come back this weekend. If Amari Cooper's back, I'll give him a chance for sure. I don't know that. I'm not putting a bet on that. I'm not putting a damn. That's not true. I have put a bet against Kansas City covering the spread every week.
That's a good move.
And I've won every week.
That's a really good move.
I think I'm relatively sure that the Chiefs are 0-9 against the spread this year. I think you're 0-9 against the spread, if I recall correctly. Because you were... you're not. You covered against Baltimore in week one. You did not cover against Cincinnati. You did not cover against Atlanta. I think you covered the Chargers. There's 2-2. You covered New Orleans. There's 2-3. So, no, it's not that dramatic. You covered San Francisco. That's actually 2. Okay, you guys actually against the spread are pretty good. I think those are the only ones. So Vegas.
So Vegas understands now what this team is. So I mean,
yeah, it's a team that wins by one score unless they're playing New Orleans, in which case they beat them.
Which is like just about every
breaks
team,
off of us,
except for last week when New Orleans won.
You're damn right we did. Coach Riz is the real deal. The real deal. By the way, speaking of, this isn't a spot for this, but since it came up, did you hear the story about Riz's back injury? That was dramatic. What was that? That was very dramatic.
Yeah, that's some guy painting Macaulay Culkin with matches. Oops. It's an amazing thing.
I just wasn't ready for that
he
combination
just burns
of
matches
words.
And uses like coffee and other stuff, and it looks just like Home Alone. It's now he's using toothpaste. It's just
it's Friday, people.
Yeah,
it's Friday.
I clicked the wrong button.
It's Friday.
So,
it's Friday. Speaking of Coach Riz and the New Orleans Saints, did you see after the game, great one, when the Saints were celebrating the win over the ATL, Riz was walking off the field, and it got caught on video. There was a moment where he like lost the ability to stand up. He just kind of like collapsed forward, and the players had to grab him and hold him up until he get his feet back under him. It was a real scary moment. I was actually listening to the postgame show on the radio, and we played a sound from the press conference earlier this week where Coach Riz said, my first day and my first 15 minutes in the head coach's office, I clogged the crapper. That's how my day started, you know? Riz had to delay at that postgame presser because on the field, he just collapsed. Like, one of his players had to catch him, and two more had to come over and hold him up. He actually explained what happened. And this is the moment that I was like, all right, if it happens to Riz, it happens to me. I get it. Make this man my head coach now.
Make him my head coach now. That sounds like someone who's lost control when his employees are coming up and punching him.
Oh, stop.
That's
it.
An HR
stop
violation.
It. Stop. I'm going to tell you
Why
right now.
Why is he not contacting
you,
HR?
You are getting the most aggressive version of Rob Brown today. All right?
I already expected that.
The most aggressive version of me today.
Am I supposed to be scared?
So Coach Riz, in celebrating the W, Coach Riz was getting back after Pat. Because Pat, with 30 seconds left and the game not being over, although the game was over, the game not being over, Riz is a dude that's like, Selly away. But Selly when the clock's on triple dubs, not with even a second left. And he said, I rolled over there to be like, dude, knock it off. Well, he came to get me back and hit me with the water. I told him to stop spraying. And he hit me in the back, right in the C4, C5 fusing. My arm went numb. My legs went numb. I lost my balance, and I ate it.
By the way, the reporters obviously weren't buying it because she's like, why'd that affect your legs? And so it makes it sound a little like that's the excuse he's making. And maybe he lost a little more than he's saying when he was in there. Because you started out talking about him clogging the bathroom. Maybe he was just weak from losing too much fluids, and he's going to go with that instead. Hopefully he's not really sick.
Are you accusing my head coach? And I'm obviously a lifelong Darren Rizzi fan. Lifelong. Have been a fan of this guy from the beginning. Said he should have got the head job years ago. Lifelong fan. All right? Are you accusing my head coach of having a conspiracy theory that he has floated to cover up an obscene amount of
here's the thing,
pooping?
Like a year and a half ago, I was in the hospital for losing all that and not being able to keep fluids down but for a week. So I know how weak that makes you. And he had just talked about that. So I'm just being Batman here and throwing some clues together. And maybe he doesn't want people to know that he's been ill this week. And so he's making it a football thing, making it, I was just going at my guy and everything. I just hope he's okay. I'm seriously, I hope he's okay.
I would, of all people that I thought would understand having sympathy for a ragged, decrepit, beat-up old man, Lonzo, I thought you would be first in line to defend this guy.
Listen, I am
first in line.
I am defending him. I'm pointing out how he's putting team above self instead of the focus being on him, people finding out that he might really be sick this week. You make it a football thing. You know, I was messing with my guy messed back, it messed with my equilibrium. I'm more on his side than you're acting like I am.
Here's what I know. What I know is that, I'll say once every other month or so, there's a morning where the alarm goes off, and I swing the legs off the side of the bed, and I brace myself with both hands on the bed, and I push up. And I get halfway up, and my back goes, nah, not today. And it's just a collapse right back into the bed. All I'm saying is,
that's
if it can
you have
happen,
37 jobs, and that makes your back tired.
If it can happen to Coach Riz, I feel way less bad about it happening to me. That's all I'm saying. All right, we got to run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute, we got a handful more things we got to get to before we get out of here for hour number one. We got Chris Miller, host of the South Carolina Gamecock pre- and post-game show, that is going to be joining us at 8:30 to talk Gamecock football. We got Kevin and John from the Moving the Chains pod coming up at 9 to set you up for the high school football weekend. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob and the great one, Lonzo, with you. We're going to talk a lot of Carolina, Clemson, and Panther football today. And I want to get to the games upcoming for the weekend. We talked yesterday with Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News. We're going to talk with Chris Miller, who does the Gamecock pre- and post-game show, coming up at 8:30 this morning. But yesterday, Lulu said something that kind of jumped off the page at me. And I want to see if it does for you as well. Lulu Kesson said, this feels like, she said, since I've been here, and I got to tell you, I think it might be true for me, too. March will be the five-year anniversary of Rob Brown joining the Fan Upstate. And I think this might be the first time that this sentence is true. Against Missouri this weekend. So this may be, not maybe, I am relatively sure it is. The first time that the South Carolina Gamecocks are playing an SEC game against a top 25 team, and we expect them to win. Not think they can, not go into it looking for a miracle, not are sitting here coming up with a bunch of different complex X's and O's variables about what can go right and what might go right and yada, yada, yada. This might be the first time since I have started working here, and maybe, I don't know how far back past that any of you would take this, but the first time since at least I got here that this team is playing a top 25 Southeastern Conference team and expects to win the football game.
All right, this is the first time in a while that I've been excited since Spurrier's early years, back when Clemson was beaten 5 years in a row, back when they were beating Georgia and teams like that, when Connor Shaw was there, some other guys, Marcus Lattimore was there. There was an excitement where you, when they were vying for the East, back when there was East and West in the SEC, there was that kind of excitement every week. And then it kind of faded at the end of Spurrier. Then he quit in the middle of the season, and then it's been down ever since then.
I obviously was not covering Clemson and Carolina back then like I do now, though they were on the periphery, right? Florida and South Carolina had a bit of a rivalry back in the day. Clemson and Florida State have a rivalry that dated back to when I was cutting my teeth as a young and handsome broadcaster in the Florida Panhandle.
You mean back in the Bowden Bowl?
Back in the Bowden Bowl, and you know, through the early Dabo Swinney years, and through the end of Bobby Bowden, through, you know, Willie Taggart, Jimbo Fisher, et cetera. I mean, I, you guys were on the periphery for me because the two teams that I predominantly covered, Florida and Florida State, had rivalries or baby rivalries against these two schools. So I was aware of them and covered them extensively, but obviously I followed. I knew what was going on from a 30,000-foot view. But to me, I'm not really worried about what happened with your program in 2012. I care what's happened the last few years, because what's happened the last few years is what has an impact on what's happening now. So,
but here's one thing I want to say real quick. I get that you, what you're saying there, but there are some people who were fans of the team then have had that dormant feeling, that feeling that's just laying there underneath that you can't feel excited again until this year and what they're doing now. And that feeling is coming back out again, and the excitement and remembering, okay, we know how this feels, and we're feeling that again. And there's also some caution there because you're like, okay, is this real or not?
I understand that, and this is one of those spots that I do have to clarify. That when I am on the mic talking about your team, 95% of the time, I'm talking about it from a football perspective, not a fan perspective. And I know that this has kind of been like a running joke between Lonzo and I over the years, but I am very serious when I say, when I walk through that door, you've heard the old coach's expression, when you step over that line, you're a different person. When you step over that line, you're a gladiator. When you step over that line, you're a soldier. When you step over that line, you're a combatant. And honestly, for me, even though I am the same person, when I walk through that door, I do my best to leave the fan cap behind because how you respectfully, not exclusively, but how you feel about the program doesn't really have a big impact on what the program's doing. Now, there is an exception to that rule, which is if you feel that way about the program, disconnected, uninvolved, unenthusiastic, you're less likely to put your hard-earned money into the program. And if the majority of the fan base feels that way and is not putting money into the program, the program suffers. It is harder to succeed because now you all recognize college football as a profit-driven enterprise, and money is required at every level. Money is required for the players to succeed. It is required for the coaches to succeed. It is required for the school to succeed. It is required for the conference to succeed. And so when you got all of this stacked up, the only impact that you have as a fan and your emotion has on the program is, are you willing to put money into it? And if the answer is no, and the answer for the larger portion of your fan base is no, then yes, everybody is going to suffer for that. Now, the reason I say when I walk through that door behind me and I take off the fan cap is because the only thing that matters this weekend, it's not emotion, it's not fan support. What matters is what's going to happen between those lines from the opening kick to the final whistle. But it is interesting to me that in the 5 years that I have been here, this is the first time that I, as an analyst, not as a fan, and I am not a fan of the Gamecocks.
But you are surrounded by them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm married to one.
Right.
And ain't nothing I like more than when mama's happy.
There you go.
Mama's happy, everybody's happy. And I am not a subscriber of the happy wife, happy life philosophy. I'm a subscriber to the happy spouse, happy house philosophy. All right, I think you should both be making each other happy. But yes, as a man, there's nothing I love more than watching my wife. All right, I don't mean it to sound this way, but it is what it is. There's nothing I love more than watching my wife jump up and down in the living room when the Gamecocks put a dub up on the scoreboard, okay? But I've told you from the beginning, I think I've been very honest and clear about this. I want South Carolina to win every week. Why? Because I make more money when you do. I get paid more. I get to do more things. People are more invested. I've been doing this 17 years. When local teams are good, y'all are paying attention. When y'all are paying attention, local businesses want to be on stations. When local businesses want to be on stations, they pay us money to put them there. And when they pay us money to put them there, I get some of that money. So yes, I want you to do well. But when I sit behind this mic, I'm an analyst. I'm talking football before I'm talking your feelings about it. Okay? As a football analyst, the guy that has taken as much as I am humanly capable of the emotion away from the analysis of this game, you're a better football team. You're a better football team. You're a better football team than the football team that Shane Beamer has not yet defeated, the Missouri Tigers.
See, and my biggest concern, and I hate that I have to think about this, and I'm sure there are other, and there are fans of every team that think this way, but especially the Gamecocks, Can Shane keep the guys there that the young phenoms on defense, can he keep them? Can he keep Lenore Sellers? Can he keep these guys for next year? Because they're getting a lot of attention. With a lot of attention comes money elsewhere.
What are the three C's? Cash, culture, coaching. Every recruit is coming to your school for at least one, more likely two. I'm looking for a guy that wants to be there for the two that are coaching culture. If there's a guy that's there for coaching cash or culture and cash, I'm good with that too. And I'll say this respectfully. I'll worry about that at the end of the season. I ain't worried about that now. I'm worried about Missouri right now, right? So I do think that, but I do think there is a question in that vicinity, great one, that is fair to ask.
All right, so the reason why I'm saying that is because this feeling that I'm talking about as a fan, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, I need to enjoy this as much as I can right now because half this team could be gone in a couple months.
Like I said, I'll worry about that in December, January.
But you're coming at it from an analyst. I'm coming at it from a
right,
fan.
Right. My job ain't to come in here and be a fan. Never has been. Never will be. It's not to be a fan. It's to be an analyst and then let you guys react to my analysis as a thing. Okay? But I do think there is a correction, a thought in that direction that does need to be addressed. And it's this. Ain't a damn dude in that locker room that understands the feeling that they may be having today. Ain't a damn dude in the locker room that has been in the scenario as a college football player representing the University of South Carolina. There is not a player in that locker room that, as a Gamecock, has suited up on a Saturday for a top 25 game that they are expected to win. And not just expected to win, you are a double-digit favorite. I'm going to look up and see if the market has moved any, because, again, the closer we get to kickoff, the more the market's going to move around a little bit. I know that there are a lot of people out there that are dumb and did not listen to me and bought into the Missouri hype this year. They're overrated. Lonzo, do you remember what the point spread was back on Monday when we talked about this? 11.5. Would you like to take a stab at what the points? Excuse me, 12.5. I said it was going to be 11.5. It was 12.5. You want to take a stab at what the point spread is on our friends at BetMGM's books right now?
See, I'm trying to think if there's any news that would make the points move.
Sure.
And I'm going to say it moved. It became more.
You are correct. Point spread now 14.5. You are favored by over 2 touchdowns in this football game. 2 touchdowns. Pair of tutties, you're favored. There is not a Gamecock in the locker room that, as a Gamecock, has entered a top 25 Southeastern Conference game. Top 25 any kind of game as a favorite. There certainly isn't one who is entered as a favorite by more than 2 touchdowns. So here's the next question. And we will ask this again of Chris Miller, the host of the Carolina Gamecock pregame and postgame show, when he joins us at 8:30. Is this a dangerous situation for the Gamecocks? This is a new mentality. The wires have never been connected this way. This is not a situation that any of these players, as Gamecocks, have ever had to mentally process. To go out there and know that Vegas thinks you're a pair of tutties better than those guys. Does that change you, right? Does that change the way that you approach all of this? Does this change the way that you prepare? Does it... All of us are prone to being overconfident at times in our lives. All of us are prone to being overconfident at times in our lives in a way that impacts our performance in a certain situation or environment. If you have never had an issue before being so confident in your ability and then you show up and your brain just goes, nah, I'm not connecting. I'm not getting this right. Good for you. But I think it's happened to most of us. And we know how mob mentality works on a football team. All the boys buy into, oh, we're going to go kick that ass. We're going to go whoop them, right? And all of a sudden, you go out there, and you haven't taken it seriously, even if it's on a subconscious level. You haven't really been dialed down, buttoned up, doing your job, because you think we're just gonna roll the black helmet out there with the block C on the side, and they're going to lay down for us. I got news for you. Missouri Tigers are inside the top 25. Mizzou feels like this was their year to establish themselves in the Southeastern Conference, and it has not gone well. And I've said a number of times, this is a top 25 game for the Gamecocks. You win this game, you stack as many top 25 wins on your resume as anyone else in the country. There's something to be said for that. You entered this year, I said it a million times, with arguably the most difficult schedule in college football this year. 9-3 is on the table. You add another top 25 win if you knock off Mizzou. But see, here's the thing. Mizzou feels their season's wasted. This is a top 25 matchup for Missouri as well. This is a top 25 matchup for the Missouri Tigers that they are staring down as well. This is a top 25 matchup that Missouri needs to prove that this is not a bad football team. They're coming for blood. So you gotta perform every bit as well as you did against A&M for a team that's full of dudes that have never been in this situation. Do the wires cross? It's very important that they do. That's the one thing Shane better be on top of. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in the next segment. Water cooler cheat sheet, 7:20 and 40. We're breaking these two games down. We'll talk NFL in the third hour, as well as Chris Miller will join us. And then Kevin and John at 9 o'clock to Tyke High School ball. That's all coming up after Lonzo charms your pants off. Maybe literally with his sports flash.
Now, you can leave them on unless you just got up. Then you need to put them on because it's time to go to work. The Philadelphia Eagles took full control of the NFC East with a 26-18 win over Washington last night. Jalen Hurts completed 18 of 28 passes for 221 yards. Saquon Barkley had 146 of Philly's 228 rushing yards and two touchdowns on 26 carries. Philly improves to 8-2, one game better than Washington in the division. Georgia Bulldogs will be without leading rusher Trevor Etienne when they face the Tennessee Volunteers this Saturday. Etienne was downgraded to out due to an upper body injury suffered November 2nd against Florida. With injuries to Cash Jones and Branson Robinson, Georgia has only one running back on the roster, freshman Nate Frazier. Nathan Frazier from NXT? That's wild. Tune in tonight, 6:30, as the Furman Paladins take on the Tulane Green Wave in hard court action. It's Furman versus Tulane right here on The Fan Upstate.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.